You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hello, everyone. I'm Anthony Kastrovitz, joined by Jason Beck, talking Tigers here in February, which means it won't be long before Tigers pitchers, catchers, and other assorted talents are reporting to camp in Lakeland, Florida. Beck will be there. Not a lot of news, obviously, this week, so we thought we'd have a little fun and games on this week's podcast and do a little which player is most likely to blank. So I'll give you the category, and you give me the player most likely to fill that category in 2016. Are you ready, Jason Beck?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Okay, here we go. Who is most likely to throw a no-hitter or a perfect game? I know, of course, Justin Verlander has some history in this area. I'm curious if you'll go with JV for this one, or you got somebody else in mind.
Well, you know, they have somebody with that, another guy with that type of background now in Jordan Zimmermann, but having covered so many close calls with Verlander over the years, including a couple times last season, I'd have to go with Verlander on that one. I think you know, if he's near what his form was down the stretch last season, it wouldn't surprise me at all if we're sitting in a press box somewhere in the seventh inning looking at zeros up on the board and figuring that he's only got to go through the order one more time to finish off something like this and join some very elite company that way.
That's something he's very cognizant of. I remember when he had the one broken up last August that he said afterward, you know, Bob Feller, Nolan Ryan, he kind of rattled off the names of the guys who have done it three times. He very much seems to want to be in that category.
Yeah, he's very aware of the history there. And I think as he gets older, he's very aware of his place in history, at least potentially. And I think, too, to get something like that, I think would complete his point of saying that he could get completely back after all those struggles. You know, for the first few starts of last season, plus most of 2014, I think a lot of us last summer were thinking, you know, as he was trying to work out his issues, a lot of us were thinking and saying, really, that the days of Verlander threatening no hitters all the time were probably done. But he proved us wrong there last summer, and I'm not gonna bet against him as far as doing it again.
All right, looking at this loaded lineup, which member of the Tigers lineup do you think is most likely to hit for the cycle?
That's an interesting one. I would have said, you know, certain guys, like you could see Cabrera doing it in his younger days. I don't think after all the injuries you can see him doing it now. You know, Justin Upton seems to have that combination where he could pull it off. And that's one of the things that's going to be interesting to watch with him is to see how playing in this type of ballpark with those gaps, you know, what that does for his triples and whether he can capitalize on that. I think he could be an interesting play on that. I think Ian Kinsler has run into a cycle in him, you know, the way he hits the ball. You know, Cameron Maybin even, although we're kind of waiting to see how his power will translate in Comerica Park as well. Cameron Maybin, on a given night, could make a real play for something like that. But I think I'd go with Upton at the top of the list.
Well, I have a hunch he might be your answer to this next one, too, the 20-homer, 20-stolen-base season. Obviously, nobody did that for the Tigers last year. The only guy with 20 stolen bases was Anthony Gose, and he obviously did not hit 20 home runs. Do you think Upton is a candidate for that, or anybody else jump out at you for that?
Yeah, I think he's about as strong of a candidate as the Tigers have there. I guess a lot of it depends on where he's batting in the order. If he's batting in front of Miguel Cabrera, then there's going to be a pretty strong interest in keeping him on the bases, not risk him having, you know, getting thrown out on the base pads with Cabrera up, and plus not leaving first base open potentially for Cabrera to get walked, depending on who's batting behind him. You know, that's always been a concern for whoever's been batting first or second in that lineup over the years. You know, since Cabrera's been batting third, I don't anticipate that's going to change a whole lot. But, you know, if he bats further down, I think, you know, he could have a lot of free reign to do a lot more running. And maybe that ends up happening. I don't know. I'm not sure it's going to happen right away, but that might be something where, you know, if they make an adjustment to the lineup or do something unexpected, he might be able to put up those types of numbers on both sides.
Tigers have some depth options, obviously, in the rotation. Matt Boyd acquired last year, the trade deadline. Shane Green, perhaps, beyond the projected starting five. And that's figuring Daniel Norris for the fifth spot in the rotation. We talked about him a bit last week. But anybody in that starting five you think is most likely to lose a spot in the starting five between the opening day and the end of the season?
Lose a spot?
Lose a spot.
Really, and this is not for injuries, right? This is just for performance-wise?
Could be. Use your imagination here, Beck.
Okay.
That's great.
Well, I know, you know, really, since the day that Mike Pelfrey signed, there's been speculation on, you know, how long he would have a hold on a rotation spot or if he could end up being a bullpen option down the road if some of these youngsters develop and they want to get work in, either Boyd or Michael Fulmer or somebody like that. I think that appeal of being able to do both was at least a small part of the reason why the Tigers signed him and also why the Tigers were willing to go 2 years for him. So it's entirely possible that the North struggles out of the gate and you end up having to be replaced. We saw that happen last year in Toronto. But I guess I would pick Pelfrey.
Do you think there's any the Tigers are fairly set when it comes to their lineup. Do you think there's any bench player most likely to perhaps steal a starting job at some point in the 2016 season? Anybody profile in that regard?
Wow. That's a tough one to figure out, just because, you know, especially since the Upton signing, there's really not a whole lot of I guess it depends on how you see center field and who ends up getting the opening day nod there. You know, does it end up being a platoon? Does Maben end up getting the bulk of the starts? Does Ghost make a charge? So I would guess, you know, you know, whoever's the odd man out in center field, I think that could end up being a changeable position. Although I think the potential contract year motivation for Maben could end up being a pretty strong one, and also the ability to prove himself again back where it all started for him.
Yeah, that seems to be the only one that really jumps out in that regard. I mean, third base, you talk about Mike Avilas supplanting Nick Castellanos, outplaying him to that point. I don't really see that. Every other spot.
Shortstop could be a consideration with the Iglesias and the injury factor.
If
he ends up getting banged up. I know there are people who have a very high regard for Dixon Machado as a strong defender. Some people think that even though it's a different style of defense than Iglesias, that he's almost as good of a defender as Iglesias is, maybe just as solid all around. I don't think he would steal a starting spot from them necessarily, but I think if Iglesias suffered an injury that kept him out for a while, that could be Machado's opportunity to prove something. Kind of like, taking a step up from what he did down the stretch in September when Iglesias was out with the bad finger.
Yeah. All right, Beck, the last question is by far the most important one. Which Tigers player is most likely, now this is not a guarantee, of course, this is just most likely to have Justin Bieber as his walkout music?
Justin Bieber as his walkout music. I would figure somebody would have to lose some sort of wager or else some sort of rookie hazing to get that one, which means you're kind of looking all around to figure out who could end up getting something like that. It could be Dixon the Chattel. Somebody could play trick on poor old Dixon and have him walking up to music like that. I don't know if any current guys would do it unless their kids try to talk them into it. I don't know Justin Upton well enough to figure out if he would be a candidate, but I can't imagine that happening. Amongst the guys I have covered, I can't see any of those. Unless it's like one of those songs where, Justin Bieber makes like a cameo appearance. I don't know. But I guess I'd go with Machado. Brian Holiday's way too hip. He's got Jack White hanging out with him in spring training. Yeah. He wouldn't be able to. He would have the sense of humor for it, but he's way too hipster to do it.
Well, this is why we come to Jason Beck. You don't just get an answer. You get the best possible analysis behind that answer, and that's why we love him so much. He does a great job. Thank you, Beck, for your time. Thank you all for tuning in. This has been MLB.com Extras, Detroit Tigers edition.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.